Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron, and wait on me while I eat and drink?' You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" Gospel of the Lord. Mom and Dad had lived in a small town. They had two little boys. And those two boys were quite a handful, always in trouble and out of control. And whenever something was vandalized in that little town, all the people blamed those kids. Well, one day, the school was vandalized. And right away, the parents knew that the town folks would be blaming their kids. So they took the oldest boy and sent him down to see the pastor. Maybe the pastor could straighten out this kid. Well, the kid in his office, the pastor said, "Son, where is God?" And the kid froze his ear. So he asked again, "Son," he said, "where is God?" And the kid began to tremble. A third time the pastor said, "Son, I said, where is God?" And with that, the kid bolted out of the chair, dashed out the door, down the street to his house, up the steps to his bedroom, and started packing his suitcase. Well, his brother heard all the commotion going on, came down the hallway to find out what was happening, and the kid says, "Buddy, you better start packing too, because they lost God and they're blaming us." We met Habakkuk in our first reading today, and he was standing shouting out to God, "Why? How long must we be suffering? Why do we have to go through all these disasters that you have given to us? Where are you? Have you fallen asleep and you don't care about us?" And Habakkuk goes on and on and on, complaining that God is not taking care of his people, and they are suffering. What is going to happen? You and I can bear that name, Habakkuk, at times in our lives. When we find ourselves maybe complaining to God, "How long do I have to put up with this migraine? How long do I have a back that is out of kilter? How long do I have to put up with this neighbor that is causing so many problems?" We ask, "How long, Lord, do we have to do it?" The wrong question. It's not how long, or it's not why, but how. How can we bear this burden? How can we carry this cross? How can I live my life normally with the grace of God? Elie Wiesel was a Jewish man, a popular author. But he spent a number of years in the concentration camp during the Second World War. And he saw all the ugliness that was going on in that camp, that the people being tossed into the gas chambers, people being starved to death, thrown into the open graves. And he stood in the middle of the compound, he said one day, and he said, shouted to God, "God, we are here, but where are you? We are here, but where are you?" seeing all that ugliness that's going on, we ask, where are you, God? Has God abandoned us? No. We hear the Lord saying, I will be with you all days, even to the end of time. And we hear, wherever you go, I will go. The song, the women in the sacred women in the Old Testament, I will be with you always, and where I go, you will go. And I will have that grace that you need to sustain you in your life. There was a time that I went out to Dayton, Nevada, to a parish. My classmate, Father Tom Franciscus, was the pastor. And so we spent some time together. And at Mass one day, right up here in front, there was a man, and his wife was in a wheelchair. And throughout the Mass, he was very kind and gentle to her, and she was very limited in her movements of her body. And at communion time, he was very careful to help her place that consecrated host in her mouth. And I was very impressed how well he took care of that his wife. And after the Mass, I went up to him, and I mentioned to him how impressed I was. And he said, yes, he said, a number of years ago, we were in an automobile accident. My wife suffered from brain damage. But I promised that I would live up to my marital vows, that even to the end of our life, I will take care of you. I will be with you. And so he says, I always rely on the grace of God. He says, the grace of God is there to help me. And then he said something that was very powerful for me, and perhaps for you too, when we talked about needing the grace of God to help us through difficult situations. He said about the grace of God, it is seldom early, but never late. That grace comes to us seldom is it early. Seldom does it come to us when we don't need it right now. But when we need it, it will be there, never will be late. Seldom early, never late. Increase our faith, says the apostles. We heard that in the gospel today, asking the Lord to increase our faith so that we can deal with those crosses throughout our lives, so that we are not shouting to God, why, but rather asking to give us that grace to carry our burden today. And give us that grace in our daily bread, not the bread for next week, but our daily bread, I need it today. And I receive it through our prayer, our daily saying our prayer, asking God to give us that grace for today. And it's never going to be, seldom going to be early, but it will never be late. The Lord will be there with that grace to help us. I'm fascinated with a man, the Englishman, Dalton Muckeridge. He was an atheist. He was very cynical. He was a reporter, known well in the airways of England. And later in life, he met Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa. And that was a turning point in his life, meeting Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, who had started helping through a lot of the gutters, trying to show them some dignity, letting them know that they are something. They're not a nobody, but they're somebody important, created by God. Mother saw this and was so impressed that he himself became a Christian and Catholic. And one day he was giving a talk, and in the audience were a number of his old cronies who were atheists and agnostic. And they started heckling him as he talked about the love of God. He talked about Mother Teresa. He talked about his own faith and how God loved him. So much so that he brought him to the Catholic faith. And the people continued to heckle him, saying that you have betrayed our cause and so forth. But up here in the front, there was a young man, severely disabled. And he was trying to say something. The words just wouldn't come out of his mouth properly. Muckeridge says, I'm going to wait. This young man has something to say to me. I'm going to wait and listen to what it is. And as time went on, he finally got the words out of his mouth. why am I in this condition? Remember, Muckridge, when he put that opportunity, he says, you know, God loves us all. But he said to the young man, if you were very healthy, a perfect and perfect health, would you be here tonight? He says, no. He said, you are here because you need to hear the word of God, and you need to hear that God loves you just the way you are. And so it is with all of us. God loves us just the way we are. God has given us that grace to help us carry that cross, and that grace will always be there. We receive it through prayer. And it also comes to us through community. God's grace comes through all of us to others. It came from others to you. You learned it at your mother's knee and praying. You learned it as you were growing up. Religion was a part of your life. You were open to the graces that God was giving to you. God was sending his grace through others for you. And now, it's God using you to spread that grace to others. And let them know that God will never let them down. Never again. We will pray, asking for favors my way, but God will do it God's way. And be ready for a surprise that God does it God's way. A mother took a little girl to the doctor, and in the waiting room were a number of folks waiting to see the doctor. And that little girl started asking questions. Like those questions like, who made me? Where did I come from? Where did grandpa come from? On and on she went, and the mother kept saying, it came from God. It was God. It was God who did it. God. And finally, that little girl looked at her mother and said, doesn't God ever get tired? And listen to what the mother said, and answering her daughter, no, God is love, and love never gets tired. God is love, loving you, and God will never tire of loving you. He will always send those graces to you, increasing your faith to be able to give praise to God forever. God is love, and love never gets tired.